high. You can stretch right up and touch the sky.
When the weather's fine,
you got women on your mind.
Have a drink, have a drive.
Go out and see what you can find.
Here we go, going into the first weekend of summer in Saskatchewan. What are your favorite summer tunes? It is the Green Zone. It is All Request Friday, 1-877-332-8255.
Thank you, Scotty. That's one of my favorites. I love that song.
I do want to start the show with an apology to those who follow me on both Facebook, my private Facebook account, and my X account.
What up? Fucking stupid thing.
I apologize for swearing on social media. I should have been watching my language earlier today.
It's completely understandable based on what you went through today. And
I got a hole in one, ladies and gentlemen, today. I got a hole in one, except for one major issue with that statement. It came after I put my first one in the water. So it was a heck of a par.
Great par. I got to give you credit because not a lot of people would walk away
and admit to a par.
And admit to a par after a hole in one on their second shot on an island green.
Wasn't an island green. The water was in front.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. Water was in front. Went boop. I could have gone up and dropped it from, you know, 50 yards out, but I was like, I'm here. There's the tee I just used. I'll just put it right back and hit another one. Here's my third shot. One bounce and in. Ryan and Kelly were there to witness it. Ryan videotaped me going to the hole to pull it out of the hole. Couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. I was like, wow, I did that, but it's a three. It's kind of cool, but it's annoying. Because that's probably the only time I'm going to ever do that in my life, and it's going to be a three rather than a one.
Okay,
as you pointed out, I didn't even think of this until I came into the Green Zone Lounge, and you're like, wow, you cost your entire group not to drink for free.
That's free drinks for the for the clubhouse.
Didn't even think of that. That didn't even cross
my
mind.
So, 877-332-8255. I want people's thoughts on this, because I'm in Jamie's camp. If that had happened to me, I would not have been able to mark down a one on my card. There's no way I would have been saying that's a hole in one. I got a hole in one. Yeah, yay. There's no way I would have done exactly what you did. So you and I are wired similarly in that regard.
Yeah, we're honest golfers.
It is, well, ish. I'm an honest-ish golfer.
Whatever. We're hacks. If you kick one out of the bush and whatever.
I will use a toe wedge every once in a while. I have a club in my bag.
But there are certain times where you have to be honest, and that's one of them.
That's one of those times. Do you agree, should Jamie Nye have lied to us all or lied to himself and just claim that as a hole in one? I want to hear from people.
There's too many people in this building we found out who had just lied and been like, yeah!
Were you surprised at that? Because everybody that rolled through the Green Zone Lounge, was there one person that didn't tell you you should have lied to everybody? No.
That's true.
That was shocking to me.
That is true. Never even thought of that. Starting to reconsider who I work with. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. Let's start with the Riders, Argos. It's Friday night. Yes, it is the main event for Friday night football. Kickoff is 5:30. Myself, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with the Green Zone pregame show at 3:30. No Sam Amelis, no Kean Schaefer-Baker in the receiving corps. So Joe Robustelli makes his season debut after a strong preseason. The Riders coming in with a 2-0 mark. The Argonauts yet to win a game at 0-2.
Last night,
Last night, the start of week three, the Montreal Alouettes stay undefeated.
He's playing big, dumping it off, touchdown. Pressure's coming, Alexander, end zone, touchdown. Flushed out, running around, buying time, deep look, down to the end zone, wide open, touchdown.
Late push from Trey and the Elks made it somewhat respectable. It wasn't a complete blowout, Alouettes 38-28, but they dominated. Davis Alexander is now tied for second in the CFL of all time for a 7-0 record to start his career. He's 3-0 this season. The Elks are 0-2. Alexander, three touchdown passes. And at one point, it was in the third quarter, he tweaked something because he was running off holding his hamstring.
Yeah, hamstring went down, called over the trainer.
Nothing serious.
He said precautionary, but with a hamstring, it could be weird, right?
Yeah.
Also, so, Trey Ford right at the end of the game rolled his ankle, and that was wrapped up, I guess, in the locker room post-game for the quarterback of the Elks.
You know what I was surprised at? Because I haven't really noticed this from Davis Alexander, but he runs quite well.
Yeah,
he's no Trey Ford, but he runs okay.
Yes, he's elusive.
Scrambles okay. Yeah.
He was my preseason pick to win the Most Outstanding Player Award. The Alouettes have gone out to a great start. NBA, we're going 7 for the NBA Finals.
Cross court, Siakam for the slam. Halliburton's going to try. Finally gets one to go. Tyrese Halliburton from downtown.
They were dominant. The Indiana Pacers 108-91 win, but after the third quarter, they were up by 30 on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Absolutely obliterated them through the first three quarters of that game. So game 7 will be Sunday in Oklahoma City. This is the first game 7 in the NBA Finals since the Cavaliers and LeBron James beat the Golden State Warriors in 2016.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been a while for a game 7 for the NBA Finals.
Blue Jays kick off a series against the new Pope's favorite team. The new Pope is from Chicago, and he's a White Sox fan. You might want to think about a blessing.
That was him chanting with the
I've seen the videos.
People in Rome.
Very entertaining. Jays lost 9-5 against Arizona, so they didn't get a sweep against the Diamondbacks on Thursday. And the White Sox have lost 8 straight. So it looks like it might be, well, not going to say it, but an easier time this weekend than past series for the Jays.
Clearly the White Sox didn't get that big Pope bump they were looking for. Yeah. The offseason of the NHL is underway, and it's buzzing.
Taken by McCabe. McCabe hangs up the puck. Score! Jonathan Toews, the overtime winner.
The kid from St. Vitale. And you've led the Hawks to a third Stanley Cup. Does it get any better?
No, it really doesn't.
Jonathan Toews is coming back. Pierre LeBrun reporting. The Jets pretty well making official. Jonathan Toews will sign with the Jets as the 37-year-old is back after 2 years away from the game, fighting health issues, long COVID, and other things. So Jonathan Toews will be a Winnipeg Jet. Pretty well his hometown team. Also, the Stars were making moves. Mason Marchment traded to Seattle Kraken for a 4th and the 3rd round pick.
That's a salary dump.
Yeah, because they signed Matt Duchene to a 4-year contract extension for the Dallas Stars. A lot of moves being made already in the NHL offseason as we look forward, 12 days away from free agency. Next week will be the NHL draft, as the New York Islanders will select first overall. But coming up next, we'll take your requests for your favorite summer song heading into the first weekend of summer in Saskatchewan and Britton Gray's All or Nothing on the Melfort Mauler. Logan Ferland next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All request Friday, Darby. There's a little Love and Spoonful Summer in the City for you on this
good
Friday.
Good call, Darby. Good call.
Heading into our first weekend of summer. Tonight, of course, it's the Riders and the Argos at BMO Field in Toronto. Each and every week on game day, you hear from Britton Gray on an All or Nothing episode. And this week, he focuses in on the product from Melfort. Logan Ferland.
Logan Ferland has proven to be more than just one of the best offensive linemen in the CFL, but one of the most important pieces for the Riders as well. The Melfort product has had to play different positions along the O-line due to injuries and has never looked out of place. It was his versatility that led him to being named the West Division Most Outstanding Offensive Lineman last season.
We went through a lot of ups and downs, and we held strong as a group, and that's really what I hang my hat on. It's not really individual. It's a group award, I see it as.
It's heights even he admits he wasn't sure he would reach.
Every step I take in a different league, you always set that highest bar possible. Would I have ever thought or dreamt that I would actually, you know, be here now and playing at this level? No, I didn't see it until I got here and started making that my goal. Then it slowly became a reality.
His mom, Kathy, says things were hard when he was born. He was born premature and was just 2 pounds, 7 ounces.
His head was the size of a small gala apple, and his hands were so small, his dad's ring, we could have slid it over his hand and had it on his wrist. It was hard to see him that little. He was a pretty sick baby when he was first born.
She admits she never thought her family would have a pro football player, but is ecstatic to see how far he has come.
When he first came out playing for the Riders, I was jumping up and down. It was just incredible. And then, like, I've still got videos. My phone is full of videos. Videotaping on the big screen there when they got the big smoke and then they call his name, and I still get that now. Like when I go to that first game this year, it's gonna be, I'll be crying because it's just, here we are again. Like, wow, you know, he makes me so proud.
Head coach Corey Mace knew there was something special about Ferland when he met him last season.
I said, you know, I think you're a really good football player. I think you're a step away from being top tier and elite. And he took that and freaking shoved my own foot in my mouth. You know, I thought he had an unbelievable year. And when you get to know him, there's no surprise or no secret to that. He works his tail off. Every day is important to him. This team is extremely important to him.
He proved how special of a player he was last year when he hopped around to guard, tackle, and eventually center due to injuries to the group. So when injuries have already hit the group this season, a veteran like Jamarcus Hardrick knows they can't complain about it.
Whatever comes is perfect. That's the mindset, and Logan doing a great job. He's the best example of it. Last year, just playing everywhere, and if Logan's not complaining, no one should complain. So, and that's the mindset we're going to take.
So now, playing for his home province team, Ferland hopes to bring the Grey Cup back to the land of Living Skies.
It's been a dream. I remember when CFL kind of became a potential thing, a goal, when I was just leaving high school and going into the Thunder. That was my next thing. It was picturing going back to Melfort with a Grey Cup. And that really is the ultimate goal, and showing not only my community back home, but the province, what we can do and how special we can be.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Amazing story of Logan Ferland, from just a tiny baby to now a monster of a man, and holding it down the middle of the offensive line tonight for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Toronto Argonauts. Again, the pregame show starting at 3:30, myself, Daryl Davis. Belton Johnson will be a little delayed. If you didn't hear, there is some severe weather yesterday in Saskatchewan. And if you know what Belton does for a living, he's a bit busy today. He works.
He's a storm chaser.
No, he works.
Oh, at, darn it.
Almost the opposite of that. He works at SGI, so he'll be taking some of those damage claims, of course. And a reminder, you keep it right here during the severe summer weather season, and we will have you up to date as we did yesterday on the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Friday, getting set for game day in an hour from now. Myself, Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson will be with you to take you to kickoff 5:30 on TSN for the Riders and the Toronto Argonauts on some Friday night football. But first, some big NHL news today. It's been rumored that Jonathan Toews might want to come back. And then a few weeks ago,
it was official. No, Jonathan Toews definitely wants to play again in the NHL. And today we found out it'll be at home with the Winnipeg Jets. Jamie Thomas of the Winnipeg Jets joining us here on the Green Zone. JT, how's the day? Maybe a little unexpected?
I remember someone asked me this last week about a possibility of coming back. I'm just, no way. There's so many obvious things. Okay, he's from Winnipeg. Maybe he wants to come back home. I'm like, nah, that's way too easy. So when this happened, obviously a pleasant surprise. And, you know, just talking around the office, and there's a possibility it could happen. So it's incredible, right? The big question mark, of course, is, and he doesn't even know this yet, what level can he get back to? It's been a long time off. He had long COVID. But the exciting part is, you bring somebody in with an incredible work ethic and an incredible leader, and a guy that's won 3 Stanley Cups, multiple international tournaments. I don't think you can say no to that opportunity. And the best part of it is he's from here. And I tell this story all the time. Every time the Blackhawks came to town, we would enter the Winnipeg media, would go in the dressing room, and the Blackhawks would open the door, and somebody from the room would go, "Did you know that Jonathan Toews is from Winnipeg?" from the Blackhawks players. So that was like the running joke every time we rolled in here, because, of course, the first guy Winnipeg media goes is to the local kid that has had a pretty darn good NHL career. So the fact that he's going to be a Winnipeg Jet's pretty wild to me and very exciting.
Jamie, what do we know about the deal? Do we have many specifics at all?
Oh, like this is the most incentive laden contract I've ever seen. Like there's a certain amount of money to get to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 games. There's $1 million if the Jets win the Stanley Cup and he plays 50%. Like there's a long list of incentive laden contract, right? And I think that all ties into Jonathan Toews not knowing what to expect in the same the same extension. The Jets don't know what to extend or expect. So it is a heavily incentive laden contract. So, I invite you to go to Cap Friendly or whatever the latest thing is, take a look at it because it's very interesting. Or, of course, Chris Johnson from TSN/The Athletic has a pretty good breakdown of what exactly the deal is. So, obviously, if you're the Jets, you want him to reach all those incentives, especially the last one, and that is winning a Stanley Cup and giving him that $1 million bonus on top of everything else that he gets into. So it's an interesting deal, but again, all ties into, the fact that he doesn't know what to expect, and certainly the Winnipeg Jets don't know what to expect when camp breaks in September.
It's interesting as we speak to Jamie Thomas of the Winnipeg Jets, host the podcast and web host as well, but this is a feel-good Friday story. I haven't seen one person, whether they're fans of any 32 of the teams or people in Saskatchewan, texting the show saying, "This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome that Jonathan Toews is not only back, but he's going to play in Winnipeg."
Well, look no further than this past spring with Gabriel Landeskog. Like, Gabriel Landeskog absolutely torched the Winnipeg Jets every time they played against the Colorado Avalanche. But I don't think you could look at anybody in this city that wasn't excited that he was coming back because of everything he had to fight back from. And Jonathan Toews is one of the great guys. He's quiet. Lots of people, my friend would joke and say the guy's heart beats once a month because you could just never see him be that excited. But the fact that everything that he carries in his resume and the person that he is and what a leader he was in Chicago during, the resurgence of the Blackhawks, especially in the city of Chicago, you can't not feel good about this. Anytime somebody comes back from a long-term injury or illness, in this case, you have to be excited. It is a great story, and I'm hoping for the person and certainly the organization that there's a lot more to it because Jonathan Toews has a lot more to give, and I just hope that it's at the level that he wants and the Jets want him to get to.
I don't want this to come off sounding like I'm being negative or I'm raining on the parade, but I have a legitimate question. And
sure,
if the Jets weren't where they are right now, does he come back?
So here's the offer. You're right. I don't think you're raining on the parade at all.
Okay,
why? If you're 37 and you've won as much as you have, and you're making your way back, you're not coming back to go to a place where you might win. Or you're helping, you know, your you're like, no, leaving it next Nuke Lelouch, you're Crash Davis. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, you're trying to win again if you're Jonathan Toews. So the Jets being, this is great for the organization because somebody of his stature wants to play here.
There's a
huge, you know, everything that they've been trying to build here is starting to come to place here because of somebody of his stature wants to be a Winnipeg Jet. Mm-hmm. Now, the Winnipeg Jets are not going to go out and spend like drunken sailors on July 1. Let's just stop any idea of that happening right now. The idea of a bad contract does not exist here. They're not going out to get Mitch Marner. They're not throwing offer sheets at this guy or this guy, you know, because they have this opportunity. This is a team that has always gone with what's happened internally first. And, you know, the fact that you can get somebody like Jonathan Toews to take a chance on him and the fact that he wants to play here, it's a great question. It's not a negative way. They're a great organization. They're just starting to win now, and they've turned a big corner by getting past the first round and had a couple of breaks gone their way in the second round. They very well could have been taking on the Edmonton Oilers in the Western Conference Final. So I think it's a legitimate question. And a good one because lots of people are going, why Winnipeg? I'll tell you why. I just told you everything right there. It's the team, the organization is turning a good corner here. They've always been taken, as a team that has a chance to win, but more this year than ever, I believe.
What are the chances David Gustafson keeps number 19?
Yeah, I know. It's like, or does Jonathan Toews just, because he's not going to flip the number. And Cole Perfetti is like 91, right? But I think David Gustafson will adjust to whatever that happens.
He could go back, Jamie. He could go back to number 29. He wore 29 in World Juniors, right?
Yeah, he did. So it's just that's the other part too. I was talking to my wife today. Like when I first met my wife in 2005, I went and covered the World Juniors in Vancouver, and I'm like, he was like one of the stars of that gold medal tournament too. So it's amazing how much time has passed.
Yeah.
But man, like it's just such a great thing. But I temper everyone's expectations. It's not the Jets are going to go, okay, we've got Jonathan Toews. Now you sign here. That's not, there are other things the Jets are worried about. First off with Nikolaj Ehlers, and I can go down the list, right? So
is there a letter on his jersey when he skates out?
Yo, I don't know. Like, I mean, you got Josh Morrissey, you've got Mark Scheifele, you've got Adam Lowry. That's your leadership group. Those are longtime
Captain Jets, so Serious, Jamie. It's Captain Serious. You got to put a letter on that.
Adam Lowry, please step aside. Even though you've been one of the best example of a captain over the last 2 years, I think Jonathan Toews will be okay if he's not wearing a letter, unless there's an injury, of course. And here's another thing. You know, Adam Lowry is going to be recovering from hip surgery, so is Jonathan Toews a part of the leadership group? When the year breaks out, that's another thing that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Of course, outside of Jonathan Toews, the Winnipeg Jets do have some work to do, right? Nikolaj Ehlers, Brandon Tanev are heading as UFAs. What are we Mason expecting?
Appleton.
Mason Appleton, Vilardi's RFA as well. What are we looking at from when it comes to Saskatchewan's own Kevin Cheveldayoff on how much work he'll be doing in the next 12 days when free agency opens? Or how tough could this offseason be if he can't lock up a Nikolaj Ehlers?
Yeah, I mean, from a perspective from a Winnipeg Jets fan, it's going to be complicated that way. And listen, from my understanding, there's been long conversations between the Jets management, like Kevin Cheveldayoff, and Nikolaj Ehlers' agent. So, and those talks have been great. And there's no acrimony whatsoever. The idea is to make him a Jet for life. That's the part, right? So I just think people have to temper their expectations as to how that's going to look if he doesn't sign, right? Because if he's looking at $8-9 million, you still have to see Kyle Connor's deal's up after this year. You still have to sign Gabe Vilardi. You still have to sign Dylan Sandberg. Like, there's a lot of things you have to put into play here. So, Nikolaj Ehlers has been a fantastic Winnipeg Jet over a short time, his long time here. They developed him. You know, you don't want to lose him, but the reality of the whole scene is another scene, like, idea in itself. So Kevin Cheveldayoff made it clear, like, he wants to make him a Jet for life, but there are backup plans should that not materialize, right?
Jamie, was the chicken at Kyle's chicken place better than other chicken places? I did see the picture on your Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's amazing the stuff that I do now that I would like never do earlier in my career. Like now,
I'm sitting on a counter with a bucket of chicken like, on my head.
It's amazing how much you humiliate yourself now. Like everyone's like, "Hey, would you do this?" I'm like, "Sure." It's just for social media. I'm like, and then someone goes, "Hey, man, I saw you do that thing on TikTok the other day." I'm like, "Oh crap! I wish I wouldn't have signed up for that." And then I didn't even ask, like, why am I doing this voiceover thing or this KFC thing? Oh, it's for an award at the corporate party. I'm like, what? Like, more people are going to see this? So the email comes out, and they're like, hey, thank you so much for that video. It was great. And then I realized. And I just, like, I could just give up. I like, really? Like, where? Am I not going to get hired someplace else because I put a chicken bucket on my head? Or, like, what else? Is my wife going to leave me? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. So
I didn't judge you. Yeah, Jamie.
Is this on his TikTok? Is this where this is? Is this where I need to find? I did not see this, and I need to see this.
It's on his Twitter.
Somehow they're like, oh, it's for an awards for corporate. I'm like, okay, so I'm the face of this? Like, you guys are going to win an award and I get nothing? Is that like,
just to humiliate it?
It was.
Yeah, just completely lose any type of respect that anybody had left for me. Like, that's like the kids that were shooting the video are like half my age and they're laughing the whole time. So I'm just like, whatever. It doesn't matter anymore.
Okay, boomer.
exactly.
Jamie Thomas, Winnipeg Jets. We've known each other for almost the same amount of time you've known your wife, apparently, from 2005.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly the same amount of time.
I have an ethical question for you.
Sure.
We're testing everybody around the office, and everybody's failing this ethical question. Okay. If you go to my social media, Facebook or Twitter, you'll see the video of what happened to me earlier today.
Right.
I was on the fifth hole, par three.
Well, if it's golf, man, like I throw all rules out the window because I don't like I think you should be as unethical as possible when it comes to golf.
So I put the first one in the water on par three.
Right.
So I put my ball right back on the tee.
Yeah.
Hits it again. Okay. Guess what happens?
One bounce in the hole.
Yeah.
There are some people who say I should claim I got a hole in one today.
Yeah, I think you should too, because when is that ever going to happen? And like, Jamie, who cares? Like, in a whole scheme of things, is it really going to hurt somebody's feelings? Oh no, you put it in the water first. And like, what is this, the PGA?
So you're saying I should have run into the clubhouse and claimed my free drinks that I got a hole in one?
Keep in mind, this is coming from someone who put a bucket of chicken on his head.
Like, I'm not really the guy you should be leaning on, but in the whole scheme of things, you should be getting that free drink. Does that really hurt the golf course bottom line? Does that really hurt people? Oh, you didn't really do it? Like, how many stories have you told your kids that are partially true?
Hey, whoa, careful. They're all true. They're all true. Careful.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
All right. Yeah. There's another one. Add Jamie to the lengthening list of people who have now told me I was way too honest today and should have just jumped up and down and went, I got a hole in one, even though I put the first one in the water.
You're like, put the drink on the table. It's mine.
The thing is, Jamie, this is how this works. Jamie, he has to buy drinks.
Oh, you have to buy drinks.
When you get the hole in one, you go to the clubhouse, you go to hole 19, and the tab's on the guy that put the ball in the hole. That's a rule.
No, it's not a rule. That is not a rule.
Continuation of why golf is stupid about the rule.
Well, Jamie.
4 hours talking, driving around a cart, chasing after a small white ball, and people giving you advice on how you should make your crappy swing even worse. There's no thanks. Like, there's no worse sport where you have to make small talk longer than golf. Like, it's just so those new clubs.
I had a great time today with Ryan and Kelly, Jamie. It was a good time.
Oh my god. By the way, Jamie,
the people that golf. Yeah.
I'm adding you to my list of people I need to drink with. So just so you know. I haven't already got you on the list.
Well, Thank you. I had a few nights of those. Some of them regrettable.
Like, people get so worried about where the ball goes. I'm like, who cares, man? I'm like 50 cents. Let's just keep going here.
Oh, those guys drive me nuts. Dude, you just bought a bucket of 100 for $20. And by average, that's a quarter. Like, just leave
I'll
it in the 8-foot rough.
Find this ball. I'll never
man,
be able to show
there's
my
another
feet.
Group on the tee. Let's go.
No, I'm the ball hunter.
We're never golfing together.
I'm part golfer, part ranger.
If I hear crack, 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 and I see weeds higher than my knees, I'm like, that's staying there.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah. All right, JT.
We're leaving you behind then. I'm not going to wait for nobody that goes for no balls in the bush.
Jamie Thomas and I will meet you in the 19th hole. We'll be two drinks in already while you're hunting
Jamie
for balls.
At the next place.
Enjoy the rest of your summer, although maybe if they make bigger news in the next week or so, we'll have Jamie Thomas back on the Green Zone. For our golf ethics class here.
I can go hours on that stuff, buddy. I can go hours.
It was awesome, Jamie. Thank you.
More coming up here on the Green Zone, including this day in sports history and a chat with the champs, the play-by-play voice of the Florida Panthers on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.